taking calls on the wish line, making your wacky wishes come true.
Hello? I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat and a 6-4 baller. I wish I was like 6'9" so I could get with Leo. She, cause she don't know me.
Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm your host, Jason Logan. Welcome to the Wednesday podcast. If you haven't heard, we're just doing that one a week thing here on the other side of football. Big focus on basketball, especially NBA for today's show. We're going to dig into the Wednesday schedule. We're going to get some insights on all the NBA betting from Las Vegas with our guy, Arthur DeCesar of the Superbook. And then we're going to be joined by none other than Zach Harper of The Athletic, who's, for me, is one of the best NBA analysts out there. He's here to share some short-term projections, some long-term projections, give his thoughts on the league here. As we hit the home stretch, we're going to talk some NBA futures markets and have a lot of fun with him. And we're not going to run time today because having Zach on was awesome and he was able to talk about a lot of good stuff. So joining me here on the Wheels of Steel behind the scenes, my producer, Del. Del, you're a big Toronto guy, a huge Raps fan. And you were streaming the Raps down in Phoenix when you're down there covering Super Bowl. You weren't going to miss a game. Toronto, they had a nice win last night against Chicago, maybe getting a little fat and happy against some weaker foes. Are they going to make a run for that sixth seed in the East and avoid the play-in tournament, which I have to feel is your worst nightmare?
I don't think they're going to be able to avoid the play-in game. There's just some top talent in the East there. It's kind of deep in the Eastern Conference, so I think they will end up in a play-in game. But since they've acquired Jakob Poeltl, they definitely are looking a lot better. It's clear that they needed a center, and it's been clear for 2 years now. So we'll see what happens. I think they'll definitely make the play-in game, but I don't know about anything past that, really.
Okay, so optimism. Measured, careful optimism.
Yeah, I don't want to get too excited here. They're good. They have hopefully a bright future, but it's also going to be a huge offseason for them to see what they can actually do and what Masai is going to do with this team.
All right. So a reminder before we get going here, if you like the Sharp 600, if you're listening for the first time or if you've been listening all along, we ask that you do rate and review the podcast, throw us some feedback, let us know what you want to hear on the other side of football. All those ratings and reviews allow us to expand the reach and talk to more sports bettors like yourself. All right, well, let's start the show. All right, our first guest here on the Sharp 600 is talking NBA hoops just about everywhere, so much so that his Twitter handle is actually at Talk Hoops. You can read his stuff over at The Athletic, and if you're not, you're missing out. I mean, the power rankings alone are worth the price of admission.
Thank you.
He's also part of the Count the Dings podcast. You can hear him on Sirius XM NBA Radio. Zach Harper, thanks so much for taking the time here today.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for reading the resume. It's thankfully a lot to get through, but yeah, I'm too many places, I think, at this point.
It's great, man. I really enjoy your stuff. And like I said,
thank you
so much for showing up here. All right. So we're jumping right into it. Power shift in the West. You got Durant and Irving, the exodus from Brooklyn. They go West. It's created quite a logjam in the Western Conference futures. I got to wonder, who do you have in your West final?
I mean, I think at this point, because the West is so bad, right? Like, the West really isn't that good. It's very wide open. I don't trust Denver yet. Denver's kind of where Milwaukee was for me a couple of years ago before they won the championship of, all right, you've had good regular season success. You need to find that postseason success consistently. But I will say, I think we get to a Denver-Phoenix conference finals just because, look, I know we haven't really seen Kevin Durant in the mix for Phoenix yet. They've got a short bench. I understand all the reasons, the Chris Paul curse, all that stuff. The Suns added Kevin Durant. Like, I don't know what, sometimes we overthink this stuff. Like, they're going to be great, and I don't think anyone can truly challenge Denver unless the Warriors get their act together and Steph is back and healthy and they figure out how to win a game on the road.
All right. East, a little more cut and dry. We got Celtics, Bucks, Sixers. But which lower seed can kind of shake things up once we get to the playoffs in the East?
I've hated them this year, and I typically love them in the past, but Miami. Like, Miami was there a year ago, and they only lost P.J. Tucker. Now, they, for some reason, can't hit a shot. They're missing wide-open three after wide-open three, and it's kind of stunning, but they've played in 40-plus clutch games this year. They're really good in clutch situations. They know how to play that grinded-out playoff-style basketball. I think Miami is still a major threat to everybody.
All right, Jimmy Butler takes things personally. He's got that playoff kind of attitude as well, too. Tanking, always a sticky subject when it comes to NBA betting. And generally, books will bake these sort of things into the odds for those bottom-tier teams at the end of the season. But then we've got Wembanyama out there as this generational talent could completely flip a franchise on its ear. Do you expect to see more blatant tanking, even beyond the padding that books are going to put on these bottom tier teams at the end of the season?
So I actually talked to John Hollinger about this for The Bounce, which is our newsletter on The Athletic, for Wednesday. And John doesn't think so. And I kind of am with John at this point, because the way that they flatten the odds, right? Like, you bottom three teams are 14% chance to win the number one pick, and then it goes down from there. And there's such a gap between the fifth worst team and the fourth worst team, and then the three worst records after that. There's not a whole lot teams can do. So I actually think in this case, even though teams should be tanking, because your consolation prize is Scoot Henderson, who's going to be awesome, right? Like, even if you don't get Wembanyama, you end up with a two pick. Scoot Henderson is a franchise guy off the rip. But even if that happens, like, I think the play-in tournament has kept teams in it enough where you're basically 1 through 13 in every single conference. I don't think we see it in this. I think teams are resigned that, like, now Detroit, Houston, Charlotte, San Antonio, you got it this year, and we'll hope that we get lucky.
All right. In this same vein, and we're always looking for value in the markets here, which bad team could be a good bet towards the end of the season?
Oh, man, I love Orlando. They've turned it around for a while, but Orlando, like, look, you look at them and they're 10 games under 500 or maybe a little bit more, and you can look and say, like, oh, young team, they're not very good. They started out 5-20. They're actually over 500 since that point. And I just think, like, they play really good defense. Paolo Banchero is a franchise guy already. They play in a lot of close games. They haven't been very good in those close games, but they remind me a little bit of Detroit last year, in that Detroit, those final 3-4 weeks of the season, they won a lot of games, and a lot of games you wouldn't expect them to win. I think Orlando, who's in the mix for the play-in tournament, they need a little luck here, but I think Orlando is a perfect bet the rest of the season.
Yeah, they stung me the other night. I took the Pelicans at home. And
yeah, they'll Orlando get you, man. They'll get you.
Remote fire, and they had a hot start, and they rode it all the way through.
Yeah.
NBA metrics are kind of bountiful now, and a favorite stop for NBA bettors. You kind of mix this stuff into your power rankings and your stuff, but which advanced stats do you think hold the most weight when it comes to capping spreads and totals? And then which ones do you think are a bit misleading?
The best indicator of team success or future team success still seems to be net rating, right? It's just points per 100 possessions. And the difference, that's the difference between the offense and the defense. So you got a positive one, you're more likely to keep winning. If you have a negative one, you're more likely to keep losing, right? Perfect example, the Spurs are at a historic, like, minus 10.2 per 100 possessions right now for their net rating, and they get killed every night. But I think net rating is still one I look at, of like, if there's a team that's 500 or a little below 500, but they have a positive net rating of plus one or greater, I think that team's more likely to win against a team that's kind of sitting in the middle or a little bit lower there. So that's the one that holds weight for me. I mean, the misleading one is probably it's probably just, I don't know if this is actual advanced metric, but 3-point difference. Right? Like, 3-point difference to me is one where, in theory, yes, you're having to make up a lot of those points. Like, if you are not a 3-point shooting team and a team hits a three against you, two possessions now need to happen for you to make up that bucket. But as we've seen, like, you can make up for that forcing turnovers, free throw disparity. 2-point shots are still something that we should value a lot more than we do. Rebounding comes into it. Offensive rebounding comes into it. Like, I think that while three-point disparity is something that people look to a lot in terms of what teams need to make up, man, I think all that other stuff factors in a lot. And I love three-point shooting. It's my favorite part of the game, but I think it's a little overvalued at this point.
All right. So we're going to go full slumber party style here. We're going to play a game of marry, fuck, kill with some prospects for certain teams as we get towards the end of the season and into the playoffs. I'll say marry will be your safest best. Fuck will be that sexy flyer that maybe you take.
Okay.
And then kill is going to be that team that you're going to fade. So we're going to go marry, fuck, kill. Chances of winning a playoff series, Nets, Heat, and Hawks.
Oh, I'm going to marry the Heat, because, again, I think the Heat can be real dangerous. I think the Heat can get back to the conference finals, which may sound ridiculous to people, but I'm with the Heat on this one. I'll fuck the Nets just because there's something there. There's something there, a little sexy. Jacques Vaughn's a real good coach. You know, I could see a one-night stand with them. Kill the Hawks. You can't trust the Hawks. You never trust the Hawks. They got a little bit of a dead cat bounce here with the firing of Nate McMillan. That team is garbage. They don't like each other. They're not going to do anything.
Okay, and then we got Mary Fuck Yell. Chances of getting into the playoffs here. We got Pelicans, Portland, and then my Lakers.
Oh, man. All right, I'm gonna marry the Pelicans because I do think they can get healthy. Like, the Pelicans team's really good when they're healthy. They just haven't been healthy in about 2.5 months. I'm going to fuck the Blazers because Dame, man. Like, I mean, Dame just he can do just about anything except make Portland a contender and then kill the Lakers. No offense. But, I mean, look, man, I wasn't buying them before LeBron went down. Now that LeBron has gone down for a couple of weeks, nah, man, this team's not doing anything.
Oh, it was a glimpse of hope there. They were looking
just
really
a glimmer.
Good
that, yeah, it was a five-game glimmer, man. Yeah.
All right. Last one here. Chances of a first-round exit. We're going to marry, fuck, kill Sixers, Kings, ooh, or Suns.
I'm going to, I guess, marry the Kings. No offense to the Kings, but, you know, they haven't proven anything yet. Great regular season, yep, though. Like, this is a massive step forward for them. De'Aaron Fox has been the best clutch player in basketball. Historic offense, but the defense is real bad. I'll fuck the Sixers because it's James Harden, it's Joel Embiid, it's Doc Rivers. They always find a way to do something individually together. Like, look, I don't think they're going to lose to the Knicks or the Heat or anything in the first round necessarily, but I could see it, especially if the Cavs fall a little bit. And then let's kill the Suns, man. Again, it's KD, it's Devin Booker, whatever you think of Chris Paul. Like, Monty Williams is a good coach. This team lost in the game 7 because they got COVID last year. Like, this team is a contender.
All right. So before we let you go, busy night here on Wednesday night. What's your best bet for Wednesday's NBA slate?
For Wednesday's NBA slate, let me tell you. I think that I like – oh, man, I just – all right. This is a team that has been so weird all season long, but – I'm gonna go with the Magic covering against the Bucks. I know that sounds stupid. I know that, like, the Bucks are killing everybody. The Magic play really well against a lot of these top teams. They play good defense. They play kind of ugly games. I don't think they win outright, but I the spread I saw was 7.5. I think they lose by like 5 or 6.
All right, so catching Orlando +7.5 against Milwaukee, yeah, tonight. All right, that's Zach Harper from The Athletic. Zach, so much. Thanks so much for joining us here.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, before we get going here on the 2-minute warning with Arthur DeCesar, I'm going to give some best bets here for Wednesday's NBA slate. I got 2 for the Lakers and OKC game. I went over 7.5 assists from Dennis Schroeder. I played this one last night. He went for 10 assists. Without LeBron and D'Angelo Russell on the floor, Schroeder basically is their primary ball handler. He's going to touch the ball in a lot of possessions. He's gone over his assist total in 8 of his last 11 games. And he's become more of a facilitator for this new-look Lakers roster. Anthony Davis ruled out here tonight in the second of back-to-back games. Still thinks Schroeder goes over the 7.5 assists. I also like Lu Dort under 16.5 points. He's shooting just 33% with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander out, including getting the hook after playing just 21 minutes. He went 4-for-14 shooting last night against the Kings. He does most of his damage from beyond the arc, namely on those corner 3 kickouts. And that's something that this Lakers team has improved on their defense, and they protect against very, very well, especially getting some of these athletic, longer players on perimeter defense. So under 16.5 points from Lu Dort. I took Joel Embiid over his rebounds plus assist combo prop. That was a 14.5. Embiid has just 2 assists and 6 turnovers against the Heat last time out, but he's going to clean up that sloppy play. He's going to find some open teammates against a Heat defense that loves to bring the double team. Embiid wrangled 12 or more boards in 4 straight outings. I think he goes above his rebounds plus assist total of 14.5 tonight. And finally, a sneaky kind of prop here on the Hornets guard Terry Rozier to have over 2.5 turnovers. It's paying out plus 115. The Hornets need Rozier to play point guard after losing LaMelo Ball to a broken ankle. He had to do this early in the season when Ball was out, and he averaged 2.75 turnovers per game. The Hornets are down 2 starters, and they face the Suns tonight in Kevin Durant's debut, which means Rozier will handle the ball a lot. The last time he coughed up 3 turnovers, he was filling in for Ball at point guard back on January 21st. So those are my bets here for NBA Wednesday. 2-minute drill time with Arthur DeCesar of the Superbook. Arthur, NBA picking up steam here now that we're on the other side of football. We talked liability in the NBA title odds last week, but which ones have drawn the most action to win the title?
You know, it's still the big boys and the Lakers. I'm going to throw 2 out, 1 in each conference, Bucks and Suns, and then we still take Laker money just constantly.
All right, so we saw LeBron sit out Tuesday's game in Memphis. The early line on that was Grizzlies -3.5. It jumped up as high as -9.5 some places out there, putting his worth to the spread around 6 points. Which players are worth the most to NBA spreads right now?
It's going to be the big boys, Luka, Joker, Tatum. I'll give you a sneaky one, Dame. Damian Lillard's very sneaky because he's basically the only guy on the team.
Mm-hmm. Would you say he's probably the most valuable player in terms of points?
I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but, you know, even a Luka guy now, obviously they have Kyrie, so maybe his value isn't as great as it was pre-Kyrie. You know, you also got to look at just the overall team. So,
yeah,
I think Dame's a sneaky one.
All right. You're a New York guy. Are the Knicks for real?
They are, but I say it with like an LOL. Like, they're going to play the Cavs in the first round if the playoffs started today. They're not beating the Cavs. So I guess you know what they are? They're Knicks for real. And that hasn't been much in the last 25 years.
All right. Good slate of games on Wednesday. Where's the action? Where's the moves here for these lines?
So a couple of things. Sixers at Heat. We opened Pick'em. We're now -2 on the Sixers. And we've actually seen some good sharp money come in on the Cavs Celtics under 221, now 219.
All right. We're into March. Of course, it's a big month. The college guys get their shakedown, but right now, in terms of NBA versus college, what is the kind of comparison in terms of handle? And then what's it going to be on the flip side of this when we do start up the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, right now, half and half, but obviously once we get to the tournament, it's going to be crazy. The NBA will lose steam for a couple of weeks, but especially with the conference tournament starting too, a lot of focus on college basketball.
Really, half and half in terms of basketball handle between college and pro right now?
We take a ton of NBA action, Jason. We really do. Like, we night in and night out. Like, on the big screens, on sound, we have NBA. We are a big NBA book.
But there's so much college, so many college games, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
And all that, so. All right, before we let you go here, best bet for tonight, Wednesday. Could be anything, not just NBA. Give me what you got.
I'm going to throw one out in the association, a team who's going to get the hottest team in the league on a back-to-back. I'm taking Orlando +7.5.
All right, man. Sounds good. That is it for this episode of the Sharp 600. Thank you, Arthur. Thank you, Zach. Thank you, Dell, for putting this thing together. Thank you for listening. And reminder that we are just one a week on Wednesday. So come back next Wednesday. We're going to be talking more basketball, college hoops, starting to get going. You might even toss some Oscar stuff coming up here as well, too. Thanks so much for listening, and good luck.